We haven't seen each other for a while. You were on vacation for a while.
I was on vacation, and then you lapped by weeks.
So yeah.
Yeah, been about 3 weeks.
You wrote one of the most wonderful things I've ever seen you write about our colleague Suzanne Kubota.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
It's a terrible thing, and it happened while I was gone, so I just things like that are just awful. And I thought you so eloquently stated what she meant to us here.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's one of these things you truly don't know what you've got till you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think particularly in relationships, particularly if it's somebody at the office, because this is the fun person at the office. This is the one I can chat with. And yeah, I still find myself, it's not real yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I still find myself, I'll see something silly on television or hear it or clip something out of the paper and I think, wait till Suzanne sees this mm-hmm. tomorrow. Of course, she won't.
Yeah. That column, of course, is in your archive at federalnewsradio.com. And thank you for writing what we were all thinking and feeling
yeah.
and trying to noodle through while all this was going on.
Well, I'll tell you, she had to the world, it appeared that all she did was the NUF, nearly useless factoid,
uh-huh.
which was a very popular feature. I got credit for it most of the time because it was in the column, but Suzanne did it and had a little byline. But boy, she had a following.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard from so many people, heard from somebody in Iraq.
Wow.
And just amazing. She was very good about handling her emails and contacting people right away and setting the record straight or
mm-hmm.
just chatting. And as busy as she was, she always reached out to people, and it shows.
Your column today is about security clearances and the issues involved therein. What's the deal here?
Well, and this is typical column material. I didn't think of this. A reader sent me, actually two people sent me emails about it. And they're looking at some of the things that Congress and or the White House and or the Deficit Commission is proposing as far as the federal family is concerned. One of them, of course, is there's a pay freeze, which came from the White House out of the Deficit Commission, 2-year freeze. Many in Congress would like to make it a 3 or 4 or 5 year freeze. There's a proposal that would make people under the FERS retirement system, which is 9 out of 10 current working feds, make them pay an additional 5%, so their contribution will go to 5.8% of salary. Now, that's not a pay cut, a gross pay cut,
mm-hmm.
but it's certainly a net pay cut.
Sure.
It's 5% less take home than you would have. There's also a proposal, which again came out of the Deficit Commission, that would change the formula used to determine how the government now pays about 70% of the average premium for federal employees and postal workers, and or even more for postal, and 70% for retirees. Under this system, that would gradually change in each year, and as Dan Adcock of NARF explained, if this were in place, for example, if premiums went up $10 per pay period next year, under the current system, the government would pick up 7 of that, and workers and retirees would pay only 3% additional, or $3 more for their coverage. If this formula changed, that would eliminate that 70-30 ratio, and each year the government would pay less and workers and retirees would pay more. And it's been estimated that in 5 or 6 years, that could amount to people paying 45% or 50% of their total premium, and maybe after that, even a larger share of the premium.
Mm.
So again, a cut in take-home pay, it would, even if nothing else happened. And then finally, there is a proposal to go to what they call the chained CPI, and it's like the Consumer Price Index. It's a different version of it, and currently they use the CPIW,
mm-hmm.
and that takes a market basket full of goods, tomatoes, asparagus, things that people buy on a fairly regular basis, and it monitors their price all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they come up with their inflation increase or not. Under this one, they'd use an alternate system that allows for substitutions, and the people who like it say it's real world, because when times are tough, if you go to the supermarket, you normally buy steak. The example they say is you'll buy chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes adjustments for different economic times. That's what the backers say, and they say it's a fairer indication of true inflation. Opponents obviously say just the opposite, that it's a way to get at retirees and people under Social Security as well. And each year, the inflation adjustments that they got would be, by some estimates, 0.5% less than they would have gotten under the current system. And over a period of a couple of years, a member of the House Ways and Means Committee, I believe the chairman, is from California, a Democrat, his name escapes me, but I think he said it would average out to about $1,000 a year less in increases for people under Social Security. And because civil service retirement benefits are higher, it would mean, what, $1,200, $1,500 less on average for the typical retiree. So all of these things coming together, people are very likely to have less money, less disposable income. Here's where the security clearances come in. As you know, we've probably never had as many people with top secret and eyes only and all of these various security things for Homeland Security, for defense, for a variety of reasons. It's essential to the job. You have to have it to get the job. You have to have it to keep the job. One of the requirements for getting and keeping a security clearance is a good credit record. And if suddenly you're not paying your bills, you're not paying your bills on time, it's a foreclosure, you could lose that clearance very easily. And it's not just defense, Homeland Security, and places like that are looking at it. The law enforcement agencies have always been very careful about, they want to make sure their people have good financial records. And there have been problems with a number of agencies who have duties along the Mexican border because these drug dealers and cartels have a lot of money to throw around, and they're doing it. They're looking for bribes and tips and that sort of thing. So it's one of these things. It would kind of be a perfect storm, but the irony would be at a time when we need people with bona fide good security clearances, and when they need them to not only keep their job, but when you leave government, when you think about it, if you leave the federal government, responsible position with DHS or DEA, anything like that, you're a gem to a private contractor. You come out with health insurance, you come out with an annuity, so, and you bring this security clearance that's, you may have to do it again, but they know you're going to pass it. And if you lost that for some reason, that could be, you know, moderately catastrophic for some people.
We have a link to your column, of course, at federalnewsradio.com. And next hour, we're going to bring some of the conversation that you mentioned with Dan Adcock from your turn to everybody who's listening. And you can find the whole program archived online at federalnewsradio.com. Mike Causey's tribute to Suzanne Kubota also linked up on the whole page. Thanks. Good to see you. I'm glad we're
back. Thank you. Glad we're back.